Do we have a chair?
Well, Janice Lane Ewer is not on, so I'll be happy to get it started.
Okay, why don't you get us started?
Yeah. All right. Okay. Are we streaming?
Yes, they said we're on.
Okay, hi. This is Teresa Allen and the PNB Affiliate Task Force, and it is October 9th, 2014. Okay, and I'm going to do roll. Okay, Chandra Hopman?
Here.
Great, thank you. Cynthia Johnson? Didn't hear anything. John Cronshow? Didn't hear anything. Ankine Antaram? Didn't hear anything. Steve Pride? Didn't hear anything.
Teresa, there's only seven people on the call. Maybe
Kim
people
Kaufman?
Can just identify themselves
Kim
instead
Kaufman?
Of having to go through the whole list.
Kim Kaufman's not here. Alan's here. Apollinar. Castellanos. Adriana Casanave.
Here.
Thank you. Burden. Not here. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Thank you. Reggie Johnson. Didn't hear him. Frank Lefevre. Didn't hear. Campbell Johnson. Didn't hear. Janice Lane Ewart, not hearing. Heather Gray's excused. She's requested and excused. Dina Colbert.
Here.
And Ursula Rudenberg.
Here.
Now that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 total. Anyone whose name I didn't call?
Michael Novick, did you call my name?
Oh, Michael Novick. I'm sorry. Okay, yes, I'll put you down. Ursula says that we have a guest. Do you need to ask your...
I'm sorry, Teresa, how many people do you have in the call?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, including Michael Novick.
8, and that it means that it's not quorum?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm saying, how many members are in the committee? Because, have quorum, we need to have...
This is not a committee. This is a task force.
The rules apply the same, right, about quorum?
No.
Or
no.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Quorum is not required
then
for a task force.
Did somebody talk about quorum before? Because I heard of...
Quorum is not required for a task force.
Okay. Thank you.
I think somebody just joined the call. Did we get a new member?
Yeah. Hi, it's Mark Allen Derry.
Hey, Mark Allen.
Hi.
Hey. So should I introduce the guest?
Yes, that would be great.
Since he just arrived?
Yes.
This is Mark Allen. And Mark Allen, I'm suddenly embarrassed because I can't remember your last name. Could you give your last name?
Yeah, it's Derry.
Derry. Okay.
How do you spell that?
D as in David, E-R-Y.
Okay, thank you.
And Mark is from our newest affiliate. I'm introducing to him immediately as he's joined the network. And he's from New Orleans, which has been, as he knows, that's been a goal close to my heart for a long time. I wanted an affiliate in New Orleans. And Mark, your station is going on the air soon, right?
December 1st.
December, right. And I'm going to let you tell your own story. Mark was here in Ames this summer, and I met him in Ames, and he told me quite a surprising story about how he got into community radio. He's actually a doctor by profession, and his station has the auspicious call letters of WHIV.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'll let you take it from there, Mark.
Sure. So it's a very common mistake. Everyone says, actually, my first name is Mark Allen.
Mark Allen. I apologize. Mark,
that's okay. That's very common. I usually have to say that, and people remember. So, like Ursula said, I live in New Orleans. I'm a professor of medicine at Tulane University. My specialty is in infectious diseases. And I specialize particularly in treating people with HIV, people living with HIV who otherwise are uninsured and have no other means of being able to get care. These are through grants that I have to write fairly regularly. But it's pretty cool that Tulane that does that and allows me to kind of do work like that. Part of my responsibilities involve a bit of traveling abroad. And one of the things I like to do is document the effects of poverty on health. And I think the story that Ursula was talking about was I was actually getting onto a rickshaw in Phnom Penh in Cambodia. And because I've been following the LPFM story because I'm obviously a radio person, and so I had kind of knew what was going on, and I had known of Petrie and what he had been doing, but I got on, I had downloaded my podcast for the day and kind of went down in my hotel, went down to the street to get a rickshaw to go to work, and was at the point of listening to Democracy Now. And just as I was getting the rickshaw, that was when Prometheus had appeared on Democracy Now to kind of announce that the LPFM windows were opening and that it was coming. And I remember being very, floored by that. And I was like, no way, this is really happening. And then the idea hit me that, maybe they said you can go online and see if your community can apply. And I did, and I saw that New Orleans had several, four to be exact, very good stations. And then from that point on, I had, contacted Prometheus, and they brought us onto their torchbearer kind of group, and we applied, and here we are, and it's, I should have started by saying, right up front, that is, it's an amazing honor and pleasure to be talking to the group that I'm talking to, because as I've repeatedly told Ursula, I've been a fan of the work that has been done with y'all, starting with, KPFA and I think Lewis Hill and I've just been a huge fan, and just to even talking to you guys, it's a great honor. But what I really wanted to do with WHIV, and the reason why I named it WHIV, is not so much that this is going to be a station dealing with HIV. It's actually the name of the station really is Radio NOLA HIV, programming dedicated to human rights and social justice. That's really what we're looking to do, is create programming that is specifically dedicated to human rights and social justice. I named it WHIV because I'm an HIV doctor and I see the stigma associated with it every day. And my goal was, if you can say HIV or WHIV day after day, hour after hour, month after month, year after year, how do you destigmatize a stigma? And you kind of say the word over and over again, and it's a good way to destigmatize a stigma. But like I said, really, really what we're really trying to go after is providing a voice for the community of New Orleans. There's a lot of great music that comes from New Orleans, but there's not a lot of great talk that comes from New Orleans. So the radio stations are, especially some of our local nonprofit and non-commercial radio stations, really focus on the music that lives and exists in New Orleans. But New Orleans is, poor southern city, that is affected by, the repressive, laws that look backwards and certainly not forward. And, there's lots of voices, that I see, not only just as a HIV doctor, but infectious diseases are really diseases of the poor. And when we're talking about poor poverty, we're talking about social injustice. And so I really wanted to create a tool for the organizers and the activists in our community to be able to have a platform to tell folks what is going on, and so the way we're kind of designing the station, what we'd like to be, and this may sound crazy, I've never done radio before, but obviously we're going to start day one with all of our programming kind of coming from Pacifica, and so we're going to do like a Monday through Friday 7 a.m. to like 5 p.m. kind of talk you know, with content that comes from y'all, and then we'll flip over on nights, weekends, and holidays to music, you know, local music or what have you. So initially we wanted, you know, the content we're going to download is, you know, it's going to be from Pacifica, but by like month six, I want to have like at least 25 to 30% original content. And by month 12, so after first year, I would love to be able to see anywhere between 50 to 60% of original content. And there was one more thing I wanted to mention, and I just slipped my mind. Maybe it'll come to me in a second. But yeah, that's really what we're trying to do with WHIV is provide a voice for people who otherwise don't have voices in New Orleans. Transgendered black women in this city, if you are stopped by a police officer for doing nothing except for being black and transgendered and female, and you have your purse searched and there's condoms in your purse, they can arrest you and throw you in jail, and they do for solicitation of prostitution. I mean, these are the things that, like, and these are the voices of people who I think would be great to have with WHIV. I remember what I was telling you, kind of the way I think about what we're trying to do here, and this will be my last point, and I'll let you guys carry on with your meeting, but is to really kind of not only have kind of broadcasting, like traditional broadcasting, you know, so if somebody has a radio in their car or on their phone or on their in their home or whatever, they can tune in 102.3 WHIV. But really, you know, we're obviously going to be streaming. We're going to be streaming to phone apps. And most importantly, all original content that we're going to develop is going to be archived and podcasted so that this way people here or from wherever will also have access to that information. And then, of course, I would see myself as delivering a service to you all as well and being able to capture the voices of New Orleanians and then offer them up to Pacifica Network to see if anybody's interested in those voices. So thank you, Ursula, for giving me the opportunity to talk to you all.
Yeah, it's great having you. Any questions, Mr. Mark Allen?
Yes. Oh.
I guess I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. Is it Mark Allen, one word, M-A-R-K-A-L-A-N, like that?
It's Mark Allen, one word, but Allen is spelled funny. It's A-L-A-I-N, so it looks like Alan.
Okay. All right. Well, my question is, we have a wonderful show here in Houston. It's called Living the Cancer-Free Life. And
mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you might want to go and listen to it. And if you give mm-hmm. me your email address, maybe offline, I could send you a link to it. It's quite interesting. I just, you know, they only come on the air for a half an hour, like once or twice a month. But when I do, it's very useful information.
That's great. Yeah, that's the sort of stuff that we're looking to fill our slots with. So yeah, please absolutely send me a link. I would love to listen to stuff like that.
Okay.
Mark Allen, I'm interested. This is Ursula. I'm curious about what you see your funding base as for the station.
Right now it's been largely based on donations. I think that a majority of people are fascinated and really interested in supporting something like this. I'm talking about the community. In terms of one of the things I am going to be reaching out to is some of the very large HIV foundations, I think, will be very interested to hear that there's a radio station run by an HIV doctor called WHIV. I think that's going to catch a lot of people's interest. And these are very large, you know, funders as well. So we're going to definitely be, you know, chasing after that. But I see myself kind of doing mostly listener-supported and grants is really what we're looking for. I don't want to go into the model of having to get kind of, you know, underwriting or support from, you know, community, you know, businesses and stuff like that. I'm really going to try to shy away from that and really focus on grants and you know, if I can get, you know, the Elton John Foundation, or I mean, there's lots of folks that really do, like Lady Gaga is a huge funder of HIV supported causes, so is Cyndi Lauper, and you know, so I think, and once we get the station up and running, I think that, and once somebody can download an app to their phone or stream live onto from their computer, I think that's when we're going to start to see some traction. There's a Pause magazine, P-O-Z, Pause magazine. It's an online as well as a print magazine. That's the largest free kind of magazine or monthly for people living with HIV. So a lot of folks with HIV read it. It's where they kind of get a lot of their information in terms of medication or disease progress or what have you. December 1st is World AIDS Day. And this is why we're going live on World AIDS Day. They also are featuring me in their print as well as online edition in their December issue, which is a big issue. That's a very well-read issue because, again, it's World AIDS Day. So I anticipate that there's going to be a lot of eyeballs kind of on us, you know, from folks who do the HIV funding right from the get-go. And so I think that, you know, listen, let me just be perfectly honest. I've been in school since I was four. Five. I'm a 46-year-old man. This is the first time I've ever stepped away. I've been in education since I was four or five. I've never run a business. I've certainly never run a radio station. So a lot of this is I'm kind of learning as I go, and I have two or three mentors who've immediately taken me under their wing and immediately started showing me how things get done. So it's, you know, none of it is really rocket science. It's a matter of just kind of making things kind of work together, which is I'm realizing. And then again, funding is a huge part of it. And this is certainly something that I probably in 6 months may have a better answer
for
you.
Hey, Christy, Nancy.
Hello. Go ahead, Mark Elaine.
Yeah, I was just saying in 6 months, I very likely will have a much better answer for you. But I will reiterate that I really want a listener, again, you know, the KPFA model, I really want a listener-supported station rather than kind of, you know, with some grants, but, you know, but not something that's kind of underwritten where we're going around asking people for $200 to mention their names on the radio and stuff. That to me seems a little... That doesn't quite jive with how I see the station going.
Well, if nobody will ask questions, I'll ask a lot of questions.
Go ahead.
Ursula, are many of the stations other than KPFT, are they taking Tom Hartman?
Yeah, some of them.
I think that's a very thought-provoking show.
Yeah, I think KPFK takes it as well. Yeah, they have a pretty big following.
Uh-huh. So, let me just, WHIV will definitely have Tom Hartman on. I guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other questions for our friends down in New Orleans?
No, this is Janice. I'm sorry that I dialed in a little late. I had to make an airport run, but I was able to hear most of your presentation, and thank you for your time and for sharing your energy for community radio.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure beyond belief, and it's really, as I said, it's an honor and a privilege to be here, you know, to even be talking to you guys. You know, as I had mentioned to Ursula, there was a video in the 90s of a little girl wearing a little bumblebee outfit, and she doesn't fit in anywhere, and at the end of the video, the music video, she finds all the other people dressed like bumblebees, and they're all dancing happily in a field. And that was the way I felt when I went to Ames at the radio conference. I realized, well, these are my people, you know. These are the folks.
Really nice.
And so at that point, it was I didn't have to explain anything to people, you know, like everybody understood because everybody, we're all like-minded people, you know, and the Ames conference was really, you know, it was very eye-opening for me, and I was using it as kind of some sort of indication as whether or not I'm headed in the right direction or not. And I felt very, very confident that everything that I was doing was seemed right on line with what all y'all do with your community radio stations. I was like, okay, good. My vision was right. You know, other people are thinking the same way. All right, let's move on with this.
Yeah, amazing go ahead.
Michael Lovick with a question. This is probably betraying my own ignorance, but I know that the Pacifica stations put shows up on the audio port, is that right, for each other? Do the affiliates have that capacity too?
It's a little bit hard to understand you, but I think you asked, can affiliates get the same programs that...
Okay. can the affiliates put programming up via the audio port for other affiliates or for other stations?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be a method also for your station to, you know, get some of the material out to, for other broadcasters.
Yes, that I want to second that because it's I've been wanting for a long time for some voices from New Orleans to be available to the rest of the network. So did you understand that, Mark Allen, what we were talking about?
Yeah. I in what I am doing and even somewhat how I'm selling this, if you will, to other people is the fact that if people do come on and do, you know, do have a good show and say interesting things, that we'll podcast it and we'll put it up to the Pacifica Network so that it can be heard around the country. I'm actually using it as a selling, I'm using it as a selling point, so I hope y'all don't mind.
Great. Well, if some of you don't have questions for Mark Allen, maybe you can give him a welcome. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Serene.
Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Serene with a question. The folks at Common Ground, and I haven't been keeping up, so I don't even know if they're still functioning, but are they still functioning? Are you in touch with them?
Yes. So Common Ground was a health clinic that we're talking about the health clinic in Algiers Point, just to be, because there's a couple things called Common Ground. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, and there was a brother who had run for office. I can't remember his name. He actually did a bike thing across the country.
Right. Common Ground did?
No, a particular person who was identified with Common Ground.
Oh,
but go ahead and answer.
I see. Yeah, so Common Ground was, and in fact, this actually brings me to another point that before I answer your question directly, I wanted to make another point, was that part of what we're going to be doing, too, is we're being hooked up to a generator, both on the transmitter and antenna end, and in our broadcast studio end as well. I'm sorry, generator. We're going to be hooked up to a generator. So we anticipate that should the unspeakable events occur again here in New Orleans or events that are like that, we want to be, we're going to be on air, basically, hooked up to generators and also giving people an opportunity that have to evacuate, that they're going to be able to stream stuff on their phones from wherever they are, and we'll be able to get up-to-date, accurate information as to what's happening in New Orleans to knock on wood something like that happen. So in answer to your question, however, is Common Ground was a group of people. Actually, they were colleagues of mine. They were Tulane physicians and who started a clinic in mostly African-American, poor area that did not flood. It was on the other side. New Orleans is cut kind of down. About two-thirds of New Orleans is cut by a river, Mississippi River, and they were on the other side of the river, and that side did not flood at all. And Common Ground, you know, in fact, I've just recently been asked to be on their board of directors after I've been consulting with them for some time. And Common Ground just kind of became one of the symbols of New Orleans post-Katrina that really kind of stood the test of, that really kind of stood for, you know, kind of, you know, providing health care, especially to those that are again, mostly poor individuals in a dignified manner that was, you know, really provided by physicians who really cared to work in communities like that. They just celebrated, I think, their ninth anniversary. Katrina happened on August 29th, so like a week after Katrina was their ninth year that they've been open, and I actually attended the event. My friend started on the ground, and everybody's very proud about that accomplishment. So thank you for asking that, though.
Okay, thanks.
So anybody else want to welcome Mark Allen to the network?
Hey, welcome.
That was beautiful. Thank you guys very much. I like that baritone part at the end of the
Well, let me ask you this. This is Teresa from Houston. So what sessions did you attend in the at the Grassroots Radio Conference, and what did you find most useful?
I thought the LPFM day was great. Like, that was, I mean, boom, boom, and boom. You want to know why I attended? It was because of that. Like, I saw it before, and I was like, oh, whatever. And then when you guys held that LPFM session, my board of directors were like, yeah, you better get your ass down there and find out, you know, before we embark on this, you know. And so the LPFM, so that was that whole day, and that was great. I think I attended, I'm sorry, I can't remember. There was a great session on how to do interviews, and there was a great session on kind of radio. And it was the same guy who did the interview. He was a great speaker, how to do an interview. And then after that, he did another session talking about kind of like, I think it was supposed to be the future of radio, but it got, you know, I inadvertently sidetracked the conversation. You know, because I do believe to a certain degree that we have to stop talking about radio per se and really need to think about kind of more like streaming and podcasting, because I think that's where young people get a majority of their content. I mean, talking to radio, you know, if I talk to a 19-year-old, they're looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, they'll pull out their iPhone or they'll pull up their phone and they'll show me the apps that they're streaming, you know, their favorite radio stations around the country or what have you. So, you know, but those were the sessions that I went to, and I found them to be very helpful. But also more than the sessions was really meeting people. I mean, again, I felt like the little bumblebee girl who ran in and found all of her bumblebee friends, you know, like it was so easy to talk to people and it was so easy to be able to kind of get ideas. And again, we're all in the same sort of community. And so there was, you know, a very lively exchange of ideas and stuff. Of course, meeting the Prometheus people was very helpful. Meeting Petrie was like, for me, because I'd been watching him on, you know, YouTubes and podcasts and stuff. So meeting him was really exciting. Thank you, Ursula, for he's been emailing me. I'm trying to get him to come down for our December 1st launch. I found the
conference. He does not disappoint, right?
Yeah, no, he definitely doesn't disappoint. He's, you know, he's just kind of touring the country. I think he's just looking to go from LPFM to LPFM to try to help people get on board. Mm-hmm. I mean, this dude is really kind of seeing his vision through all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Which I admire greatly.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick question. It's Serena again. You might have given me a website before, but I didn't catch it. Is it whiv.org?
No, it's actually, interestingly enough, WHIV is a homeowners association in Santa Cruz, California. So it's a WHIVFM.org.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
And we do have a website up, and it's up to date and it's working well. It's advertised. We have a benefit this Tuesday. I've purchased all transmission equipment. Has been purchased. All transmission equipment has been purchased. We have a tower that's getting ready to go up. All that is good. Now what I need to do is purchase equipment for the broadcast. So we're building both a broadcast station, and then we're also creating a production unit far away from it in another part of the building. So we'll definitely be up and running right from the get-go. And I guess I'll be figuring out how to use all this equipment once we get it.
Wow.
Nancy from KPFT, may I have a question?
Yeah.
Okay. You said something about generators. Sounds like you have some kind of plan in case of a hurricane coming. Is that true?
That was exactly what I was saying.
Well, I would surely like to see your readiness plan or something, because we didn't even make a committee here in Houston and at KPFT, and I would really like to see it. LSP at KPFT.org would be fine.
Okay. That's probably a little further down the line, but, I mean, yeah,
oh.
I was just saying that we are making sure that we're up with generators on both sides, but I'm sure at some point once I get more into the, you know, nitty-gritty of kind of running a business and stuff, but that sort of stuff will come up in terms of creating plans and stuff like that. It's pretty common in, you know, you're in Houston, so you understand. I mean, it's pretty common for us here to kind of have plans like that, you know, in the event.
We don't have
a plan.
We don't have a plan in Houston.
Please.
I wanted to hear about your plan. Okay. And what kind of transmitter did you just buy?
Nautel.
Okay, thank you.
They got the Nautel one that they were having on sale. That
200,000, 180,000.
I think so, yeah. I can't remember.
Did you get the Nautil because of your trip to the Grassroots Radio Conference?
No, that had already been identified for me previously one of the... I've had two fabulous volunteer engineers, and one of them actually, he himself got an LPFM as well through... he runs the broadcasting division at a local community college. His name is Bob mm-hmm. Dunn. And Bob's Community College Delgado also won an LPFM as well, a building permit. Mm-hmm. He had gone through, and he basically was, it was like ordering everything of two. Whatever he ordered, mm-hmm. I just, you know, kind of, and so he had identified that Nautil, and then it was, you know, it was great to go in there and actually see, you know, the representative there and talk to her and, you know, and see their equipment and, you know, get more, I was feeling better about it. But even the Prometheus guys were, you know, they were endorsing it as well. And we feel pretty good about it. And the nice thing about it is that, again, in the event of storm-type stuff, it kind of flips over to, you know, pre-programming on a thumb drive on the back. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it really kind of fit us really well.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Janice, are you chairing this meeting?
Yes, I am. I'm following the flow of the energy, I'm imagining that we are at the point where we will welcome Brian for future meetings, to be engaged in future meetings, and that we would find this to be a great time to go through the approval of the minutes, if in fact that has not happened prior to this presentation, and have a feeling that it didn't.
Okay, well, thank you so much for... visiting us, Mark Allen. You're welcome to stay if you want, but I don't know if that's... You probably have things to do, but thank you so much for being part of us.
Yes, thank you.
I look forward to seeing updates on his work on the GRC listserv.
Yeah.
Will do, yeah. Again, thank you guys very much for the opportunity, and I will definitely be in touch with y'all.
Great. Thanks for coming
back.
Thank
you, Mark. And I'm sorry I said Brian. That was a bad
That's okay. I totally understand.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye,
you
Mark Allen.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Janice, yes, we are on the agenda. We took the interview with Mark Allen, Jerry, G-E-R-Y, first. So now we are at approval agenda and then approval of minutes and on.
Great. And I will ask if there are any amendments to the agenda that was presented yesterday. Hearing no amendments, is there a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
I move that we approve the agenda as presented.
Your second?
I got second.
Thank you. No objections, then we'll move to the approval of the minutes that were distributed as well 2 days ago, if my memory serves me correct.
Yes.
Great.
They were also sent out on September 13th.
Are there any amendments to the minutes as presented?
Adriana?
Yes.
I would like my last name, please, being corrected, because at the beginning in the roll call it's right, but then later on every time it's spelled wrong. I would like that being corrected. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other amendments to the minutes? Is there a motion to approve the minutes as amended? I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as amended. Is there a second?
Alan,
need a second in committee.
Thank you. And if no objections, the minutes will be approved as amended.
I'd like to abstain.
Thank you, Serene. I'll note that abstention. With the abstent extension notice, and the minutes are approved as amended.
Mm-hmm. Point of information.
Yes.
Nancy Seibert and I, Tommy from KPFT, hello, and I cannot find anything on the KPFTX.org about minutes or agendas, or do y'all have it in some different place?
If it was not posted, it is the, it's my impression that it was not an opportunity, sorry, that the staff person at the national office was not able to take care of that item, but I would certainly send both of those.
I have copies of all of the minutes, and I will send them out.
Therese, it's not so much that they need to be sent out. I know that Otis has typically copied on these messages, and I have asked him to do those postings. My informed opinion is that the staff is extremely busy right now and that he's not had an opportunity to do that. So, Nancy, well, I apologize that you've not had access to them through the website, but I certainly will endeavor to get them draw to the attention of the appropriate person and or get instructions to do that myself and have them up by the end of the week, which would be tomorrow.
Janice, I give you permission to nag me. I have them all. And, Nancy, if you'll call me and tell me specifically which ones you want, I will send them to you. I will try to get them on tonight.
I'm
be heard. Hello?
I think there's two people talking, so... excuse me. Nancy, if you could respond, and then... And if you're talking now, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yes. I would like to that they're posted so not just Nancy can read them, but anybody can read them. That's all.
That's
my point. Serene for the stack, please.
Yes, Serene.
Anyone who posts the meeting notice can also post the minutes on kpftx.org. And if you don't know how to do it, you can ask Otis or you can send me an email and I'll tell you how to do it. You go in the same way you would post the agenda ahead of the meeting. You can go in afterwards and post the minutes.
Thank you so much.
It's not a national office staff responsibility.
Thank you. I'm sorry that I made that reference in that way, Serene. I will move forward and say that that's the process that I've been operating under. I will certainly make an effort to receive a lesson from someone else. In the meantime, if there are no other points about the minutes and noting that Teresa will get them to you, Nancy, I'd like to move into the next agenda item, which is Ursula providing a brief training for the survey that we have agreed would be useful to be implemented with affiliate stations. So, Ursula, are you ready?
I'm sorry, a point of personal privilege?
I assume that's you, Serene?
It is.
Yes, what is it?
Okay, so, Ursula, I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you're doing it on tape. I'll have to refer back to it because I'm going to be leaving before you're finished, and I'll just go. I won't be interrupting because Sam going. So thank you very much for getting this done.
Okay, just checking, Janice, I'm sorry, I didn't see the agenda. Am I giving a report after the training, or am I giving
a report?
Yes, you
are.
Okay,
yes,
all right, just checking.
Since Nancy does not have the document, and for the purpose of the stream, since it is also not posted on the stream, let me remind myself that I should read the agenda, and my apologies for not having had that come to me prior to now. Following the approval of the minutes, item number 4, which we've already covered, is hearing from guests from new stations. Item number 5 is brief training by Ursula for survey of stations. Item 6 is the affiliate task force report, again, Ursula. Mm-hmm. Number 7, report from Janice Lane Ewart on request to PNB for Ursula reimbursement.
Number 8 are action items. Number 9, confirm next meeting. Excuse me, number 10, adjourn.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks, Janice.
You're welcome.
So the survey exists online. It's on a Google server. And for those of you that are going to be doing the survey, I'll send you a link to the survey. And basically, you will then go through the survey and fill it out as the person you're speaking to gives you the answers. And everybody has been sent this survey a few times, so they've had opportunities in the past to fill them out themselves. So don't worry about, you know, taking this away from them. That's, you know, these are people that just haven't gotten around to it for whatever reason. And so what I'll be doing is I'll be sending a group different emails to the station manager that you're going to be surveying, telling the and you as well at the same time, so that introducing the two of you, and so that the station manager understands what's happening. So this won't be a cold call. And hold on just a second. Abby, can you do that on the other side of the room, please? Thank you. So there'll be an email where essentially I'll tell the station manager that you're going to be calling them, and I'll ask the station manager to send you the best phone number to use in order to speak with them. And generally what happens after that is that the general manager will write back to you usually and say, oh, great, you know, this is a good time for me to reach you. And so, like I said, this is not a cold call. The person will know that you're going to call. And this is a survey that the task force crafted about 2 years ago. And it's a series of questions that we feel the intent of the questions are to get a profile of who is in the network. And it also, the questions in the survey also will help us with the group underwriting project. And so that's very useful information as well in that area. And again, mainly it's to get a profile of who, you know, what the station is like. And it does ask at the beginning some questions about what their reasons are for affiliation, how they feel about it, and asks for feedback, general feedback questions. It also invites them to join the task force if they're interested. It asks them if they're interested in doing that. And then there's some questions about their management structure and programming style and the focus of their programming, their listening audience size. And then there's some technical question about, you know, how big they're, you know, what, like if they have translators, what kind of equipment they use, and questions about what kind of groups or ethnicities they're targeting with their programs, and the general orientation of their programs. There's a number of questions around that. And sorry, my computer is being weird. It's suddenly not cooperating. Okay. Let's see if I can get it to cooperate again. Yeah, Google Docs are still wonky a lot of the time. Come on. All right, let me see if I can figure out another way to do this. I'm just trying to give you a brief overview. I'm not going to the individual questions because there's quite a bit of them. It asks about their use of audio port and then there's some questions about money, about the size of their budget, their fundraising choices, and their relationship to underwriting, and methods of support, and just their general, you know, economic state,
and how they find marketing most effective. And and then basically it kind of asks an open-ended question about, you know, anything else they want to talk about or what ideas they have. And so the thing is that you'll find that you'll find that some people are very talkative, and you're going to have to budget your time. And most of these people are very, very nice people, so I think you'll really enjoy speaking with them. I'm going to give maybe Dina and Teresa a moment to give feedback, too, because they've done the survey a few times, and they can maybe give you some sense of what the experience was like. I think they're just as kind of a form of orientation for you. Generally, affiliates are not really intimately knowledgeable about the nuances of governance issues at Pacifica. They're pretty aware of the nuances of broadcasting issues, so they tend to be pretty tuned in to the management level of things. They tend to have very close and friendly relations with myself, and so they have a very high level of comfort in dealing with us on the management level. They tend to not have a lot of a very sophisticated knowledge of the nuances of Pacifica management, which we all know is extremely complex. So it's generally on principle, I don't ask them to try and understand all that, mostly because they have their own problems. And, you know, they're looking to Pacifica for support and help, not for more problems. So just as kind of an orientation for, you know, an understanding for, you know, where they're coming from when they're talking to you. And obviously there is some level of public relations when you call them. So I would just ask that you, you know, be very polite and that you uphold the standard that we uphold in the network, which is very, very much rapport-based. We maintain extremely high standards of politeness and consideration with the affiliates. And that's the tenor of the network. So I just ask that you respect that and enjoy it, quite frankly. It's a great thing. Dina and Teresa, do you want to give any brief feedback? Because I think you've been through it. So,
and before you either of you start, I just want to ask you to prepare your remarks in a method that allows us to learn more beyond what Ursula has noted and allows us to keep on track in terms of our time. Thank you.
This is Dina. I'm sorry I missed the first part, Ursula. I had to attend to something. The only thing that I would say is please read the website before you start the survey so you have some idea of the breadth and depth of the radio station that you're calling so that when you speak to the manager, you can get a better perspective from their point of view, not from what you know, but try and be open to what they have to say. And the survey should take 30 minutes, no more. It should take less than that. But if you allot 30 minutes, that's exactly what you'll be doing. And I just set an open pace in the beginning of getting to know them and asking them a few personal questions about how they manage their station or what it looks like, how many producers they have, just general, very general questions and about their geography and their outreach. And then I just start the survey and stay to the survey. It's very simple. You just go through it with them. And you answer it on your computer, and you send it in on their behalf. They're happy that they really are happy that you're there doing it for them. It's on their to-do list. and they want it to get done, but, you know, they have other priorities. So they're glad to talk to you when you set the appointment up with them. That's what I do. Ursula sends out an invitation to for the two of you, and then you just follow it up with an email and suggest two or three times and see if it's okay with that person. And it's very simple, but it's also very enlightening. You'll find that stations vary from region to region and station to station, and you get a sense of their who they are, which is very different than any of our stations. So enjoy it. That's it.
Thanks, Dina. And Dina made a good point. I'll send you a link to their website so that you can look at their website.
That's really important, is to know who you're talking to before you start the before you call them.
Yeah, and one thing you may want to do is look at their program schedule so that you can see, you know, you'll recognize various shows from Pacifica Network.
Yes.
Thank you. Teresa, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us?
I would just like to say, reading their, looking at their websites gives me a lot of ideas for my station. And I do, as I do survey, I do try to give them, find out what we might have in common and ask them, as I did, you know, have you tried this? Have you tried this? Have you considered? Because I'd like to know whether something succeeded or failed with them. And, of course, I'm always promoting the vehicle donation program because I know that everybody's going to benefit. The more people get in on it, the more everybody's going to benefit, and a lot of times they haven't heard of it. So I'm willing to send information to them about that. So
that's a great idea. That's
hopefully
great.
They get a little, they get a little, you know, a little perk, a little gift, if they can get into the vehicle donation program. That'll make them a little extra money.
That's great. Yeah.
Of the conversation. So.
That's great.
That's it.
Okay. Good. Anything else? Any questions around this topic? Does everyone understand what the assignments are for those who are going to assist?
So then when the survey is finished, at the end you tell the website that the survey is finished, and then it automatically gets uploaded to the documents that's collecting the information. There's nothing else you have to do once you you hit the complete button, then you're done with that survey.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
No other questions? And Ursula, could you go into the next agenda item, which is the affiliate task force report?
Yeah. You know, and about the survey, one of the reasons we did the survey, aside from the fact that we want to use the survey to educate everybody in the network about who the affiliate program is, it's an educational piece, but it was also created because there was a desire expressed on various people in the task force to have more contact with affiliates, and this is a really great way for you to do that, and so I really invite you to enjoy it. Most of these are just really, really enjoyable people, so, you know, have fun with it. And, okay, so the program staff still consists of three staff people, one full-time, myself, the network manager, an 8-hour-per-week position, which is affiliate billing and contract manager, and an 18-hour-per-week position of interim affiliate network technical coordinator. And the affiliate office has been focusing this past month primarily on collecting outstanding fees for FY14 and completing the agreements for FY15. Can you hear me, or is this interference too difficult?
I hear you.
Okay. Somebody started talking in the back. If it gets hard to hear, tell me and I'll relocate. We've been focusing especially on moving this forward. It's been kind of straightforward and tedious around here because we want to really try and start out the new fiscal year as organized and clear as possible.
And also, we're really responding to the organization's urgent need for funds at this time. And since September 1st, the affiliate network office has brought in exactly $24,059.25. And for those of that amount of money, $5,058.50 was in overdue fees from FY14, and $19,075 are new fees for this coming year. There's approximately $25,000 outstanding still in last year's fees, and this is kind of a dramatic shift that is, in a way is giving us a portrait of what's happening to community radio, because pretty much for the first 10 years or so, we had pretty much 100% payment by the end of the year, and now we're, halfway through the month after the year closed, and we still have $20,000 to collect. So it's really a measure of how much difficulty everybody's having. It's not a measure of people being uncooperative. Everybody is struggling financially, as well as Pacifica. And there is going to be a certain amount of those dues that are not going to get collected. And that's just a reality we're going to have to live with. So, things are hard for everybody. The newest affiliate is, hold on just a second. Kay, can you talk just a little bit lower? That's okay. The newest affiliate is WIOF in Woodstock, New York, which will go on the air within a month or so. And they're currently in the testing stage, which means that they're on the air, but they're testing their signal. They haven't officially started broadcasting. And currently, the group we're speaking with about affiliating next is in Flagstaff, Arizona, which is great because we only have one other affiliate. Arizona is a very conservative state, and our only other affiliate, no, we have two. One in Tucson and one in Bisbee. Oh, and we have an internet station in Phoenix. So Flagstaff is like a really welcome addition to that. And myself, Dean, and Janice are continuing to put together a proposal for the affiliate unit network unit. And I am continuing to clarify the process of managing the infrastructure for the pilot project for the group underwriting project. I'm still feeling very excited about that, and more so as I get more clear on what needs to be done. And I'm doing that with the help of Janice Lane Ewart, for which I'm very grateful. It's a very exciting project for me. And I mentioned last month the internet services package that Otis has created. And KZYX in Philo, California, has begun installing it. And I'm designing a contract to accompany this. And WHIV in New Orleans, those people we just talked to, they're going to be the next client for this beta project. So that's my report. And I will be picking out stations. What I need from you is the people that I have listed so far that are interested in being part of the project are Ankine, Serene, and Michael. And I wasn't sure about Teresa. Are you still interested in making some calls
for the survey?
Yeah.
Yes. And Mike. Okay. Yeah. Michael Novick said he would take five. Yes, I'm still interested.
Okay. And is anybody else currently planning to do that? I apologize if I'm overlooking you. I'm just not clear in my mind. Is there anybody else that on this call that plans to do surveys?
Ursula, I will be a backup should you learn that the list is longer than what the current level of volunteerism is available. as I should indicate to the group as a whole, I'm fairly committed to spending a specific amount of time with Ursula each week on the of the joint underwriting project, and so I'm a little hesitant to take on more. However, I know the value of the information is critical to the next steps, or some of the next steps involved with the project, underwriting, joint underwriting project. And so with that in mind, if there is a lack of sufficient capacity to see this through, I will volunteer.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Are there any questions? I wanted to make a brief report to leave time for your questions.
Hearing none, then, Ursula, thank you for that in-depth report, and I will remind those who are participating to check in and get your process started. I think this is actually a good time of the year to engage the affiliate general managers. Many are past their fall pledge drive and are moving into other areas of year-end appeals and things of that sort, but not just quite. And so this is a good time to get those done before November rolls in and it's back to raising money for something or another.
Okay, thank you. Two more quick items I should mention. One is there is a slideshow now of the Grassroots Radio Conference, so for those of you who weren't able to go, you can go virtually now. I'll send the link to the listserv, to the slideshow, or if you go to YouTube and look up Grassroots Radio Conference 2014, you'll probably find it. And it's nice. It shows a lot of the people that were there. And the last thing I wanted to mention, the thing about the listserv, I did look into switching the listserv over, but Serene brought up some issues, and the main thing that kind of brought it to a standstill was that the listserv right now that would be on the Pacifica server doesn't have an archive. It doesn't archive the emails, and there was a feeling that the archive is relevant, and so for the time being, we're still at Yahoo, much to Teresa's despair, because Teresa gets tortured endlessly by Yahoo. And so I don't really know what to do. It seemed like the archive was important enough that we couldn't really make the switch right now. So we're still at Yahoo.
That's okay. I just can't get my computer expert to help me with this, and I just can't get him to my computer to do that, so...
Yeah, and then there was a request that the notice be put on PacificaNetwork.org about the affiliate directors, and I'll have Matt's coming in to work tomorrow, and it's his job to manage the website, so I'll have him do that tomorrow. I'll have him put it on a box on the side of the front homepage. So
great. So I have two questions from your report. One, which may be more appropriate to ask our CFO, but I'll try it. Do you have a sense of the amount of bad debt annually that is charged against the affiliate stations? My guess is that it's fairly low, but I'd like to have, if you know, a ballpark.
Could you ask? I didn't understand the question. What is charged?
Do you have any sense of the amount of bad debt, i.e. the amount annually that's not collected from the affiliate stations?
No, I can't tell you right now. Like I said, for the last 10 years or so, it was practically zero. The last 3 years have been pivotal years for a lot of people, for other reasons than Pacifica's problems. And things have changed dramatically.
But also, on top of that, last year there was no real record keeping of affiliate, you know, fees and collection. As you know, we came in, the initial amount reported was $60,000, which is less than a third of what it should have been. And
right.
So, you know, we've been trying to recoup a lot of that money, but the trouble is, you know, things were, we really have no records that,
okay.
That can be, so we're kind of starting all over in a way, you know?
Okay.
So, and I would normally, you know, I would normally ignore that and just say it was kind of a strange year, but the truth is, it was the exact same time when a lot of people are losing PPP money and all sorts of other things are happening, and there's all sorts of problems now that didn't exist before. You know, and so it's, yeah.
I ran a question, just a general remark, and then I'll move on to others who may have questions. It occurs to me that the advent of the joint underwriting project may also present an opportunity to reassess the contracts and the amount of the contracts, especially since services to affiliates have changed within the last 3 years, and I am wanting us to be mindful that the value of the service is closely associated with the amount of money that stations are paying.
Yeah, well, that's a huge topic, really worth discussing at length, Janice. I agree. You know, there is a whole lot to be said about that.
Okay.
But saying on the most kind of most primitively put, it does need to be said that the underwriting project would play a huge role in our affiliates' ability to pay their fees to us. It's that simple. It's getting to that point because they are losing their CPP funding, a lot
right.
of them.
Right.
Indiana can play for the tax?
Pardon me?
Yeah, Ursula, you want to finish? Okay, Ursula, you want to finish your comments, and then Adriana will be recognized on the stack.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking survival, folks. This is the rules of the game have changed completely in the last few years. And we're talking about stations that do not know how they're going to face their own future. And so, you know, this is a pivotal moment. You know, that plus the fact that we don't have a newscast right now, a project could help stations survive would be a whole new, you know, service that currently doesn't exist. It's a very big deal in, you know, for the survival of the network. If we want this network to survive, we're going to have to look at these things.
Thank you, Ursula. Adriana?
Yes. I'm sorry because I'm driving and it's difficult to hear. But did you say that we don't have records of last year who pay and how much they pay? Do we have any records about where those checks for those money were deposited and who was in charge to keep those records? Because it's really troubling to me. I understood that you are telling me that we don't have records.
Well, the
right?
reason why Chris Berryhill works with me now, she's the billing and contracts person that works with me here in Iowa, is that it became clear that it was very, very important that somebody work closely with me and that we have the ability to see who is paying and who's being billed ourselves so that we can keep it straight. Because yes, it did, in the last 2 years, there were no reliable records of exactly what happened. There were various records of various things, and I cannot tell you, I can't answer your question because I am not in the business office in Berkeley. I can't tell you who was responsible for that. All I know is that we reached the point where we did not have accurate records. And at that point, I asked Summer to be able to be supervise the person who is doing the billing and the collections. And we've been doing that ever since. And we are really, really getting it organized now. And the money's coming in, and we're really clearing up all these questions. I can't tell you more than that because I don't have access to that information either.
Are there other questions? I hear someone else.
Michael,
asking.
Michael, that.
Yes, please, Michael.
I'm the treasurer at KPFK, so I'm on the National Finance Committee. My understanding from Raul is that he has set up a restricted account just for the payments coming in now.
That's right.
The affiliates, yeah.
Well, it's not a restricted account. It's a lockbox. You're right. It's an account with a lockbox, and so we don't know what happens to the money in the account, but we see the money when it comes in because we can look at the lockbox online.
Yeah.
Now the money goes in and out of the account, and we have no control over that. But and I can't tell you what happens to the money. But what I can tell you is that when an affiliate pays now, we see it. And so we are able to keep incredibly accurate records now of what's happening. And it has made all the difference in the world.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, then the next agenda item is a report from myself on request to the Pacifica National Board to reimburse Ursula Rubenberg for expenses that are now over 18 months past due, and I'll report to the full body that the agenda of the most recent board meeting did not advance to the line item related to this request. It is certainly still listed on the agenda. However, no action was taken at the meeting. The next agenda item are action items, and I believe, Teresa, that's an opportunity for you to delineate, if anything, coming out of this meeting today.
Janice?
Yes?
Could you explain, because I haven't been on the call, what that reimbursement was for? That's not for salary. That's something else, right?
No. Ursula has advanced funds related to the operation of the affiliate task force program
on
her own personal account, and those funds have yet to be reimbursed.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And most often associated with travel and or other immediate expenses related to moving the work of the task force forward. So I will again remind our colleagues at our next meeting, which has not been slated yet, and we'll attempt to move that up on the agenda so that it could potentially be resolved after the roll call.
Adriana, for the start?
Yes, Adriana?
Yes. Standing bills or whatever the reimbursement that Ursula had are old. You say something about 18 months old. And,
yes.
And the second, okay. And the second question is, Ursula, that probably is not for you, this to Ursula. Ursula, were you having some conversations with the CFO and with the interim executive director about how and any kind of arrangement in reimbursing you that money back?
They've asked me to give them the itemized. They've asked me to fill out the reimbursement form, which I've done, and all the receipts, which I've done. And Margie has said to me repeatedly that paying it back is of highest priority to her, but she doesn't have the money. And she did make a suggestion that the money be paid in two parts. To cut it in half and pay, give me two payments as
the foundation could, and I said that was fine with me. But to this date, as I understood it, they're just trying to pay for insurance right now. And she just says that it's extremely important to her. She's committed to paying it back, and she just doesn't have the money for it.
Point of information?
The money yes, point of information.
The $26,000 or $25,000 that was just collected, I thought it was our contention from the task force that any new monies that came in were first paid to you. So I'm wondering why the insurance gets paid before you do when it's the affiliate monies that are coming in.
Well, I mean, there's two answers to that question. One is that I'm not the supervisor, so it's not my decision to make.
I understand that. But
the second answer to the question is that, you know, we all understand that paying the insurance is pretty damn important because, as I understand it, if we don't pay at this time, we lose it forever. So it was a priority made, you know?
I'm sorry. So, Gina, I understand the rationale for your question, and I don't think any of us on this call are in a position to give you as accurate a response as I believe the question deserves. At this juncture, I believe our next step is to reiterate at an upcoming DMB meeting the length of time at which this expense has been outstanding and to suggest ways in which some other expense could be slightly reduced in order to pay this expense. And again, I will make every attempt to move the item up on the agenda. And given that there are two or more members of the PMB on this call, I would imagine that there will be additional support for getting approval of this item.
May I ask, I'm sorry, just one more question?
Yes, Adriana.
We are talking about that money that is coming in to the national office. Ursula, your salary, the salary of the people, your helpers, the one that you mentioned before, the 8 hours and 18 hours, and the health insurance, like you say, are being paid from the national office too, right? That is, they are up to date, right? They don't owe you any salaries or anything like that. I want to be sure.
No, everybody's getting paid their salary.
Okay, perfect. Hey, that was it. The last thing.
So far.
Adriana, I'm glad that you asked that. I'm imagining that question may have more relevance in upcoming meetings. But if we could,
I hope that.
Well, I certainly pray that that's the case too. Or maybe I shouldn't say pray. This might be a non-denominational committee. However, we are 7 minutes beyond the time at which we are expected to conclude, and so I will ask if we could move into report out of any action items, and then confirming the next meeting. Teresa, from this meeting. Would you like to report out on any action items, or I can take care of that? Hello?
The only thing I can state is that you, Janice Lane-Yord, have attempted to request the PNB to deal with our resolution, that Ursula be reimbursed, and we also have... Ursula has a list of people that have agreed to do the survey. So I'm hoping that maybe we'll have a report at the next meeting as to the people, which surveys they've done. Maybe that would help. And the only other thing then is confirming our next meeting. And
so today we are at the, another day? Yeah, I do. The 9th of October. Our next meeting would be in November, which would be the second Thursday of the month.
We are lined up for the 13th of November.
Yes. So I will ask that we get that posted on the website as soon
as... It is already on the KPFTX website.
Great. Thank you, Teresa. And
we also have the Stemper on there, too. So.
Great. So if there are no other items for this task force, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
I think I heard Michael, and then I heard a second by...
Michael. Okay.
Janice, before everybody leaves, can I just ask one question? I don't mean to prolong things, but just a quick question.
Make it really quick, please, Ursula.
Okay. do you guys like having guests at the beginning of the meeting? Should we continue doing that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I like it, and I think it's informative and helpful and expands the range of our knowledge. I would ask if we could, I will ask if it's okay for me to be a more stringent timekeeper so that we are able to stay on track with our time and be respectful of each other's time.
Okay, sounds good.
Could I just add one more thing to that? That if we know
30 seconds, Dina.
That's fine. If we know who the guest is ahead of time, we could go on their website and maybe our questions could be more poignant.
Okay, sounds good.
Great suggestion. There's been a motion to adjourn. I heard Mike and
I second it.
Okay, thanks, Deanna. With no objections, I believe we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Janice.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Janice. Janice.